Hi, I'm Miriam Micah Day, and you're listening to North of 40, where we tackle conversations around death, rebirth, soul-shifting experiences, and how to embrace our human condition when life throws you curveballs. Life hands us a bowl of obstacles every day, some big, some small, some profound. Life happened to me, birthing a baby at only 30 weeks gestation, to only lose my husband and life partner just 8 months later in a sudden death heart event, shattering my world. Now, whether your experience is loss of a loved one, not reaching that societal milestone, or feeling like life is passing you by, we all have to remember it is the obstacles, the ones that are simply there to open a gateway to a deeper knowledge of self. Today on North of 40, we are talking the art of reinvention, how to turn the tide in life when we become self-aware of life's obstacles and the decision to overcome. Today's guest is a dear friend and journey woman, Randy Woods. Hailing from Baltimore City, Ms. Woods, a double mastered prepared nurse with degrees in business and healthcare administration, our journey together started many, many years ago on the campus of Temple University, where I fell deeply in love with her spirit. In present day, our lives continue to parallel as we both have experienced loss. People who are so close to us, it's almost unimaginable to fathom our lives without them. Randy joins us today to bring us her insights, wisdom, and clarity on reinvention. Welcome, Randy.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. And I have to say, I never knew that you fell in love with my spirit on the campus of Temple University.
Because I certainly did.
I definitely fell in love with your style. We'll talk more about that. But I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. You know, one of the things that really inspired me to have you on our show today was the thought of how you practice specific modalities in your everyday approach to life. Mm-hmm. And I love to be able to kind of share with our audience what exactly that is.
Okay. Let's dive right in.
Yes. Yeah,
where do you want me to begin?
I want you to talk about how we use the practice or your practice specifically to diving deep within the network of nursing, but you have a very different approach to what that looks like. And just so the audience knows, Randy is a nurse. You know, mm-hmm. she was a practicing nurse, but she has a very different approach into how she kind of deals with healthcare.
Right. So you described me, so I'm so happy to be here. And you described me as being a double master's prepared nurse, right? And so I have a master's in business, and then I have a master's in healthcare administration. And people always ask me, so do you still nurse? Are you still a nurse? And I will always be a nurse because a nurse looks at the whole picture, the whole person. And so what I've always done is to look at systems from the inside out. And if we look at ourselves, we are nothing but a system. And so I always say, you begin within. We begin within. And so everything that I do in life begins within. And I think when I was doing bedside nursing. So that's what people, when they're asking me, am I still doing nursing? They're saying, are you still taking care of patients? And when I was doing bedside nursing, the patients were the teacher. They taught me what really, really mattered, right? Because at this point, they're vulnerable mm-hmm. to me mm-hmm. and to the other providers. And so it was such a profound time, and for them to give me insight into their world. But everything, as you will talk about, it all starts within, and that's
so,
the beauty.
And here's a perfect example of reinvention. Mm-hmm. Going to school, thinking of the traditional way of nursing, as you said, bedside nursing, and turning it into a completely new way of caring and caregiving for people, mm-hmm. and using administration in a way that you probably didn't think about using it at the time. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely. So reinventing has always been, I think, in nursing school when I was in undergrad, I started something called a new wave of healthcare. As the president of my nursing class say, a new wave of healthcare. How do we look at taking or what I like to consider not taking care of someone, but creating space for people to journey, for people to heal. And so as we're talking about reinvention, you have to create space for that, mm-hmm. right? You have to create time. You have to just be open for differences of opinion, all of those different things. So in space, people are allowed to grow. People are allowed to change. And so I'm glad that we're talking about reinvention today, because I'm quite sure that since the passing of Bay, you've needed time and space in different ways, like actual space, right? Literal space, but just space of mind and just time to explore feelings and really look within yourself to say, how is this reinvention really going to happen?
And allowing myself permission and the freedom to say it's okay to look at life in a different way.
Mm.
Because mm-hmm. I have been walking a specific path for so very long that when the shift happened, mm-hmm. you know, you're not really aware that a reinvention is happening, whether you actually subscribe to it or not, whether you actually signed up for it or not.
Right.
You know, this is an amazing way to kind of jump into this new idea that I'd like to be able to share with everyone. You know, at 40, my life shifted.
Mm-hmm.
People always talk about how, you know, certain milestones define who you are. At 40, as everyone knows, my husband passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And at 40, you also lost someone who was very important to mm-hmm. you, a companion, a lifelong soulmate, a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so interesting that we had that in common. We have so many things in common.
Mm-hmm.
But to have something so profound in common was really life-changing for me to really mm-hmm. understand and recognize. And you were also 40 when
yeah.
you lost your best friend. Tell us a little bit about who she was, mm-hmm. how her transition shifted you in terms of the reinvention.
So my best friend, Jay, we called her Jay. Her name was Jamila. And as you know, Jamila and I have been best friends since high school. So at her passing, we had probably been friends for over 20, 23 years or so. And when I say she was a beam of light, she could come in here and she commands a presence, you know, beauty, but just wit and everything. And I can remember in 2016, we had the best summer ever. She lived in New York with her husband, and she was coming to Baltimore to rehearse for a play. And we would have these dates on Friday night. She would call me, say, pick me up from the train. I'm hungry. She would have her Bitmoji. She's, you know, texting me. And we would have these amazing dates. And I remember in September, she started having stomach pain. And we didn't know what it was. Now, go back a couple of years, Jay had been diagnosed with bladder cancer. This is an anomaly. Most people do not, bladder cancer is not something that is rampant. But she went through that and was a champ. This is a person who continued to reinvent herself. And
she was a cancer survivor at this point.
She was a cancer survivor at this point. Not only was she a cancer survivor, she was a young woman in her 30s, just newly married. And now from the bladder cancer, she ended up having a urostomy. Mm-hmm. A urostomy meaning that she no longer urinated from her vaginal area, right? But she had a pouch in the side of her stomach, and she would put a tube in to allow herself to urinate. That was devastating. When I say this was a beautiful woman, and this was devastating, newly married, and she had to reinvent herself, reinvent what sexy was, reinvent how she and her husband connected and what that looked like. But she went through that in a champ. 2016, she starts having these spells again, right? Stomach is, you know, doing its thing on her. And she ends up, fast forward, we realize that she needs surgery. We're thinking that it's some scar tissue. She has a blockage. That doesn't do it. In February, I can remember I am in West Africa and we WhatsApp, and she told me, excuse me, shit just got real. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I have cancer. And this time they're telling me that I need to make a decision. This is going to be life-altering. And I'm saying to myself, you gotta be kidding me, after we have reinvented ourselves. I mean, she has reinvented her world. She's going back to school. She's in a, you know, she's doing things.
And just, again, young woman in her 30s, mm-hmm. no other health issues that we could speak of, living her full life.
Living a full life.
Enjoying life. And now she gets hit with this thing.
Again.
Again.
Right. She would always say, it feels like cancer is chasing me down a dark alley and it won't let up. Like, and I have to fight it. Like, it's a thing that you have to fight. But Jay is 39 at this point, right? And so we're entering into our 40th year. Now, think, we have been friends for 20-something years. This is a person who would bring me lunch on Valentine's Day and celebrate these moments with me while I was doing bedside nursing. And so now I'm thinking, she asked me, what are you going to do for your 40th birthday? And I said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to be here at the hospital. Because I'm telling you, she's been in the hospital since October.
So give us a little bit of a timeline. So she's been in the hospital since October 2016.
She's been in the hospital since October 2016. She was able to come home for Christmas. It was it happened by miracle that she was discharged. They found, like, she was able to stabilize. But at this point, she was probably 96 pounds. This is a person who is 5'6".
Yeah,
six.
So that's
she was
well
she was
below what
well
you would
below,
be.
Mm-hmm. Very malnourished. And her husband was like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? And Jay was set. She has a big family in Baltimore, very all-inclusive, like, we're going to get together. Her mother had this big brunch on Sunday, the day before Christmas. And Jay's like, I'm coming down. And he's like, oh, no, this is too dangerous on the road. What happens? And da-da. But she was insistent. I can remember I would always have a caroling party, a Christmas caroling party. And I was living at this point in a third floor unit in Baltimore. And he carried her on his back up the stairs. When I say reinvention, see, we're always reinventing ourselves. We're always reinventing ourselves in very small ways. Every day we're reinventing ourselves, right?
And reinvention of the love. Like, I'm sure that when you go into, for me, when I went into marriage, what I thought it was and what it ended up being was a completely different experience. And so who would have thunk that Rashi, her husband, mm-hmm. would have been the one carrying her up the stairs in a way that he probably never even thought of.
Exactly.
In another experience or another situation with her.
We talk about that all the time. Like, at a point where you should be thinking about starting a family and carrying a baby upstairs, I'm carrying my wife, right? You're carrying your wife. You've already seen her go through a devastating, you know, point where when she had bladder cancer and when they removed it, she also had a hysterectomy. So in that moment, they had to make a decision.
Right.
What will we do in terms of growing our family, right? And so we're reinventing, because you think that marriage and what life looks like after marriage is going to be something. But you always got to give yourself the space and the grace to be transformative in the moment.
And to allow yourself to have new rhythm.
New rhythm.
I think one of my takeaways when my husband was transitioning mm-hmm. was I always had this thing of, I want to be able to say goodbye. I had an aunt who passed away when I was about 21 years old. Mm-hmm. She died of complications of AIDS. She lived a very clean life. But for some reason, she got very sick. She had a blood transfusion back then in the 80s. They weren't checking blood. So she contracted the virus. And when she was about to leave us, I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. I got to the hospital too late. So when my husband made his transition, mm-hmm. he did it in a way that was very singular. No one was there for him. Mm-hmm. He left on his own. And that always kind of stuck with me, the idea of I didn't have an opportunity to say goodbye, because in my mind, I've always planned certain things. I'm his wife. When he goes, I'll be there, mm-hmm. you know, vice versa. But you have to give yourself the space to allow life to happen and to be able to accept the things that are out of your control. And I think that this is a little bit of that idea of reinventing your thoughts, reinventing your expectations, and kind of showing up in a way that gives you breath to appreciate whatever it is that's happening.
Exactly. Giving yourself space. Rashi went throughout her whole illness. So Jay was in the hospital. She came home Christmas. As soon as they got back to New York, right after the New Year, she was back in the hospital. So from January of 2017 until May 30th of 2017, she spent the entire life in the hospital. And so to speak about them, there were so many pieces of reinvention happening around Jay, happening within her body. But Jay and Rashi's relationship was reinvented. He dated his wife for the last 6 months at her bedside, right? This is where they're still loving each other. And he's seen her go through different things, not just one hole on the stomach. You go to having four holes on the stomach. You go to having to clean your wife, you know. And our relationship is transitioning. Our relationship is being reinvented. I can remember sitting at her bedside and at moments not knowing what to say because our conversations have now shifted. They're not Jay's day packed with 27 hours worth of work. They are her kind of reflecting on life in the moment, because that's all she had is in the moment. And so I had to reinvent myself as a friend to say, how are you showing up? How are you actually giving her space to journey? Because this isn't about me. Like, yes, I'm sad because I can see what's happening, but always understanding this is about Jay. How are you showing up and helping her to reinvent herself in these moments in this space, really, that is confined, right? She's confined to not only the room, but she's confined to the bed unless somebody is helping her to get out of the bed. So it was, and you're always reflecting and going inward to say, okay, so some of the things that were happening is, like, I don't know what to say. I don't really know what questions to ask. Like, what am I going to talk about? Okay. And I had to just sometimes say, to be open and vulnerable. And so in reinvention, I have this thing where I say, love happens. And love is living open and vulnerable every day. So I had to be open and vulnerable with my best friend to say, how do you need me to show up?
And what glory and grace is that to be able to have certain things happen in your life to prepare you for that moment?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one, you connected with each other, you became best friends. Two, you went to school and became a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thunk that years into the future that experience and those teachings would help you transition your best friend mm-hmm. to her next phase in life? You could never plan those kinds of things.
Oh, no.
And that's how I think life is kind of set up, in that while we don't want our loved ones to go, certain events happen that prepare us to allow us to be in that present moment mm-hmm. to send them off. Because your nursing experience, the way that you approach mm-hmm. your work and your technique and your modalities helped Jay in this experience.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. That it did. Those knowledge and skills combined with what I call the gift that has been implanted in me, right? The knowledge and skills of being a nurse, being a nurturer, understanding the system, the healthcare system, and then saying, bringing that in with the gift of wisdom, the gift of intuition that I have, then that did help me. I would also say, now, Jay passed in 2017. In 2016, I received a call from you.
Right.
Right. So I've already been, being prepared. Like, sometimes you are being prepared not only through your own situations, but other people's situations, right? I've seen and have talked to you. I can remember calling Jay right after I spoke to you to say, you won't believe it. You cannot believe it.
And I'm glad you said that, because that year before, in 2015, obviously we're sorority sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And our chapter, we have a very close-knit network of women.
Mm-hmm.
and one of our sorority sisters lost her husband in a freak accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to my husband mm-hmm. at the time about it, like, what are the chances of this young couple being separated in such a dramatic way that no one saw coming? And then the next year, the same, almost the same thing happened to me.
Exactly.
Just what you're saying.
Yeah.
So having that experience through someone else was kind of preparing us for the thing that we were about to journey through.
Exactly. You don't look at it. It's just, you don't know that it's happening. You don't know why you are in those spaces. But then, and you don't have to be so close to it for it to prepare you, because sometimes you are inspired even from afar, right? We can look at social media all day and you can see people's life and you know that there is still life,
right?
So even as you are reinventing yourself, even as you have been reinventing yourself and going through, you're still serving as an inspiration. And so there's something in that, if not, you know, I think that there's something to take away from that, that it's not about perfection. It's about progress and the process, right?
Yeah.
That you are still, we may not be at our final destination, because I don't think, you know, people ask me all the time, like, so how are you feeling? You know, how's everything? You bounce back. And it's like, grief is a journey. It's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey of reinventing myself. I don't know what's going to show up. I think I was somewhere and I can't remember in this moment, but I can remember the feeling that someone started, I was getting my hair braided. Just as simple as that. I was getting my hair braided during Christmas time. A song came on and I had started to think about Jay. I could not control myself in the chair. I started to bawl, crying everywhere. In those moments, I just had to pull myself together and just say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about my best friend who passed away. Because I'm shifting at any given time.
Now I'm convinced that we are living the same life, because that same exact thing happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Same exact thing. And, you know, you just got to go with it. I feel like you just have to just kind of let it out. And I'm glad that you're bringing up the thing about grief, because as you mentioned, in 2016, my husband passed away. And what I realized was I had to go through this place of not just mourning, but just a place of shutting myself off. And so I could kind of recalibrate, because I had an 8-month-old who was looking at me like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I still need to eat. I'm still hungry. You need to change my diaper. And I just didn't know how to navigate taking care of her and being in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I finally kind of came back into myself, we discussed going to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You had invited me to South Africa. I hadn't been anywhere since our previous trip. My husband took me to Paris for our 40th birthday, my 40th birthday. And I hadn't been anywhere since. And, you know, I had only been taking care of Iodele. I hadn't really taken care of myself in any way. So this trip really appealed to me. And it was a girl's trip.
It's a girl's trip. Yeah.
So I was like, well, everything about this seems right. I'm going to do it. And then we get to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being immediately embraced by a group of women I didn't know. You and Liz
mm-hmm.
was the only other person I knew. And I began to start to feel some shifting happening, some reinvention happening.
Mm-hmm.
And at one of the discussions we had at the house, someone talked about going up Table Mountain. Table Mountain
mm-hmm.
is obviously one of the pillars and landmarks of Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
It sits about 3,500 feet above sea level. And you and I decided to take the hike up
mm-hmm.
there one very early morning with some other friends.
Right.
And we discovered some things. Mm-hmm. We discovered some things. You know, people go up the mountain. They say that it's a mission. It's a mission and a ministry. They call it walking up the mountain, the church of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I realized, that whether you believe in a higher power, whether you have any kind of affinity to God, there is something spiritual that happens to you when you walk up the mountain. Let's talk a little bit about the Church of the Mountain and what that was for you. I want to share what that was like for me, because it was something that was really transformative.
Yeah. Well, the Church Mountain. Ooh. The Church of the Mountain. You were telling me that. Is it the Church of the Mountain?
It's the Church of the Mountain. So essentially what I was told was people who go up there, they usually go on a Sunday and they ascend to that peak or the highest kind of level or plateau where they shed everything that has happened to them, whether it was through the week, through their lives, whatever that looks like, and begin fresh, begin anew. It's like a rebirth.
It's a rebirth. When you said shed, I'm like, you shed clothes, you shed a lot of stuff.
You shed it all. And just for the record, my experience in hiking is very limited. So I'm used to, you know, going to Griffith Park or over here running and, you know, seeing the dogs walking the path and coming back down. No, Table Mountain is literally a rugged rock climbing experience where you have to use not just your feet, but your hands to claw your way up to the top.
Oh, yeah. It's a different experience. So it's funny because, yeah, that morning we came out the house. I'm just going to regress. Yeah, Mary had a water bottle to go up the mountain.
Yeah.
I'm looking at her. But it was a good time. I mean, yeah. You know, Mina had on a coat. One of our girlfriends had on her outdoor, you know, on like a nice jacket.
The point is, no one was prepared for what we were about to embark upon.
Right. Nobody
really understood what we were about to do. We had a guide.
We did have a guide.
She tried to kind of mentally prepare us. But it truly was an experience where you were not coming out the same.
You weren't coming out the same. So you're asking me what my experience was. Because the year before, I had been in Cape Town, and I had done some of Table Mountain with a friend, without a guide, right? But this time, around the time that we went, I had been experiencing severe shortness of breath on exertion, right? I did not know how that was going to show up. So when we got to that, when we met our guide, I can remember telling her while we were walking, like, yeah, she was like, does anyone have any health problems I should know about? I was like, I don't know if it's really a health problem, but I get short of breath on exertion sometimes. But in the middle of our hike, as we're going up, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. There were so many things going through me because I'm a pretty competitive person, right? I've run marathons, I've done this, I've been strong in my life. So I was going through some mental anguish of having, like, of one, being sweaty, like 5 minutes into the walk, right? And feeling like my heart was literally going to come out of my chest. There were moments where I had to internally shift the talk I was doing to myself to say, either you're going to talk yourself out of this and you're going to turn away, or you can slow down, stop when you need to stop, and go at your own pace. It's your own journey. Nobody is out here worrying about you. I need you to go inward. I needed to go inward, right? I would sit down and that climb, and I can remember our guide saying how she had helped another woman who was, you know, on her journey of losing weight and, you know, just trying to overcome some things in her life, get up the mountain. And she said, take your time. Go at your own pace. And I think that when we're reinventing ourselves, we think that there is a certain way that you need to do it, right? There's a certain, if she did it that way or he did it that way, that's how it's supposed to go. That is not it. That's not it. And so I had to say, one, I'm not that person I was even 2 years ago, even 1 year ago. You are not that person, Randy. So all we have is in the moment now. So how are you going to show up? How are you going to show up for yourself?
You know, for me, the Table Mountain experience was about using travel to overcome grief. And I knew that I had to leave this place South Africa with some sort of shift, because I was at such a low point in my life mm-hmm. in terms of grief that I knew I couldn't go back to America that same person. Mm-hmm. So to your point, we started off as a group. We both ended up being left by the group because they were moving faster. Mm-hmm. They had more energy. They had more stamina to get up the mountain. Mm-hmm. You and I ended up being the slower ones, and we would end up walking the mountain or climbing the mountain, literally, together.
Yeah.
And what I experienced was the idea of leaving all of the junk behind. Like, mm-hmm. every moment or every step I took up the mountain was me stepping away from the old life, the things that I had to leave behind, mm-hmm. the shifting in my relationship with my family, the shift of no longer being married, now stepping into this new life of single motherhood, mm-hmm. widowhood. What does that look like? Every step I took became about this new woman that I was creating, and I got to create it with you as a witness, mm-hmm. which was amazing to me. Mm-hmm. It took us over 3 hours to get up the mountain, when typically people take less than that.
Yeah.
And we struggled and fought and climbed and pulled ourselves up those rocks bit by bit.
Yeah. And I don't want you to forget, we also laughed. So there's joy in reinvention. There's joy in shedding, right? There is joy in transformation.
And that climb is a metaphor for life, right? Mm-hmm. So life will throw you obstacles. It will throw you curveballs. It will even give you joy. And how do you show up and manifest the overcome, the reinvention? You know, nature truly is the true teacher of everything.
It is. So when you told me about the church table mountain being like the church mountain, I thought about Pavement Tabernacle. So for a long time, I was a run coach, and I had a group, and we would have these what we would call happy hour runs. Happy hour runs were not happy hour. They were at 5 a.m. in the morning, in the middle of the winter. But we said it was Pavement Tabernacle because while women were gathering, like you said, we went up that mountain together. We were going through it together. We would have women that would gather at 5 a.m. in the morning, and we were all different paces, but we were out there to really run into ourselves. And nature allows you, gives you the space. See, nature is, it has space, and it's graceful. It's graceful. And women would be out there to really bond with other women, to talk with them, to shed things that they were going through in their own world, but also to really challenge themselves, really challenge themselves. If you're going up a hill, and sometimes nature shows you things that it takes you out of your comfort zone, right? So things that you're not going to walk to naturally, nature has them just show up. So if you're on a 5 mile run, and then all of a sudden there's a hill, well, in the middle, you're at 3 miles. You're going to turn back because there's a hill?
Or that there's rain coming down.
Or that there's rain coming down.
Right.
Or it got really hot. What are you going to do? Are you going to turn around? Or are you going to, you know, get a little bit uncomfortable?
And see what you're made of. And I think that's the thing about these experiences. This journey is to really test your armor and to really rise up out of the flames. Like, I do feel like that the proverbial Phoenix rising. Like, I feel like my skin was on fire. Mm-hmm. I was definitely on fire. I was in the oven being cooked, mm-hmm. being transformed. Heat transforms, pressure transforms. It turns something coal into a diamond. That's essentially what we're doing every day. Every day that we experience some sort of hiccup, tragedy, profound change, it's the transformation that's happening.
It's the transformation.
The reinvention.
The transformation, the reinvention, and the reinvention into your abundance, right? So that, because if you don't go through some of these things, you don't actually get to see the fullness of who you are. And so when I talk about what patients taught me at the bedside, when some people were going through pancreatic cancer, because I've always worked in what we call oncology and cancer patients, that was the other kind of weird thing that my friend passed away of cancer.
Again, life preparing you for this moment in time with Jay.
Life prepare me. But what they would teach me is that they still had so much to give, even when they were going through, the going through actually pushed them to see more of themselves in a different way that they had never given themselves time or space to see. But nature, the universe, will show up and push you and push out your greatness, even when you don't even expect it to be there.
Even when you don't know that you have it.
Exactly.
I know for me, I don't think that I would have been present and aware and accountable up until now. I think this journey leading up to 40, I north of 40, has set me up to be able to understand what's happening, because I was still journeying through it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't actually understand or could really appreciate what we've gone through and how mm-hmm. we will be able to move forward and how we'll be able to help others kind of coming behind us, which brings me to the next thing, which I think is really, really important. We're telling everybody about our experiences. We're talking about this word reinvention, but we're not really talking about how to make it happen, like how to galvanize that energy. And, you know, I think it's important to think about the pivot. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so something has happened. Now, do I turn left? Do I turn right? What does that pivot look like? Do we expand our support network? Like, what would you say? What do you do?
So it's multifaceted, right? You do need to find your tribe. But with everything, like I have a company called Art of Healthcare. I have a company called Art of Healthcare. And I call it the Art of Healthcare because art takes a lot of different strokes, right? And when you are reinventing yourself, there is not a prescription that is going to get you there. You have to do several things intentionally, and then some things are just working on behalf that you will never see. Finding your tribe, trying new things, sitting in meditation, us going up the mountain, I think that's another way of reinventing yourself through movement, through your travel to South Africa, even just getting from California to New York to have, you know, mom watch Io, and then traveling
across the ocean
gave you time and space to really begin that whole reinvention, meeting new people, seeing new things, experiencing, hearing things, speaking to new women, hearing their experiences, watching the sunset from a different place. Right? Watching the sunset from a different place. I mean, who would have imagined, right? We didn't talk. When you got to South Africa, you met these beautiful women. But, I mean, we were in a stellar house, right? Right across from the water.
And we're going back home. That's another part of this that I want to kind of express as an African-American woman, mm-hmm. a woman of African descent, mm-hmm. really being very clear about culture and understanding who I am. I had to go back home to find myself, to get grounded in myself, to feel like I was enough of a human, mm-hmm. really a human, to continue to live, because there was a point in my life where I didn't think that I could. I didn't think that I could move forward. Mm-hmm. And so, to your point, yes, experiencing all those things, yeah. going back home and restarting the engine, resetting, reinventing the engine, the pivot.
The pivot. It's the pivot. It's the pivot. Finding when you went back home and you traveled, you found your tribe. Right. Then your tribe allowed you to have these different experiences, right? Conversations, just seeing things, you know, hearing the music. I can remember you guys went on one of the day trips and you heard the music and what that did to you. And I think getting grounded. I know you get tired of me saying that word, but I mean, grounded in who you are and grounded in seeing your abundance. So you need to find ways to see your abundance moving. We did yoga and we would take walks and everything, you know, up the mountain, but also to different places. And just a lot, you know, when you move through different spaces, you see things different. I mean, you can see a tree here, But it's different to see a tree on another coast.
It's a different thing to experience a tree in America versus a tree in Africa. Completely different.
Completely different.
And you live to tell the tale. Like, you live to experience this and come back home and share your experiences.
And then I would also say, in reinventing yourself, is allowing people to serve you. Allowing people to serve you. So I'm going to tell you, when we were in South Africa, we had persons who were serving us and all week, right? Making our meals, making sure that letting a person serve you. Jay, on her last day on May 30th, I can remember, I was in New Orleans, and her husband called me and he said, she's having a hard time catching her breath. She couldn't really transition. She was having a hard time making this last transition. And she was gasping for air. And I told her, ease and grace. Let the breath come to you, right? Let the breath come to you. And then once the breath comes to you, just allow the nurses to serve you. Allow them to create space for you. Jay was a person that serviced. So if she came to your party, she was helping to, you know, put out food and drink and clean up and everything. I said, now allow someone else to set a table before you. That's very important when you are reinventing yourself, to allow other people to serve you, to show up for you, to do things for you, to actually offer friendship to you. You have to be willing also to extend your hand to say, I need you to guide me because my world right now is dark. That's so important.
The most important thing. And I think behind that, or even coupled with that, is trusting yourself to take the lesson. Trusting yourself mm-hmm. to know that this experience right now is right for me, mm-hmm. no matter how you feel about it. Bay's passing in that moment was right for me. Mm-hmm. It's not okay to me that he's gone, but it's okay because I have to learn what it's like to live without him, mm-hmm. to live without him in this plane. Mm-hmm. Because for me, the way that I see things, see, Bay is in the long time, the eternity. Right now, I'm in the short time. And mm-hmm. so how do I live in the short time with my daughter and still be okay with him being in the long time? Mm-hmm. Trusting yourself to take the lesson.
Trusting yourself to take the lesson. And while Bray was here, also he taught you a lesson, right? Your life with him was phenomenal. But there was something else in this great world, you know, in this space, in this sphere that we live in, that said, okay, now you have prepared her, right? You have prepared her. Your contract right now is over. Mary's ready. Mary is ready to step into and begin reinventing Mary. Mary as the mother. Mary as the independent woman. Mary as seeing herself in her fullest abundance. You've prepared her. Job well done. Come on over to the long term.
So in Galvanizing Movement, I want to share this one final piece with our audience. Mm-hmm. When you look to the pivot, mm-hmm. moving forward, having that reinvention, what do you leave behind? How do you leave that thing, whatever that is, behind?
It's in the release. It's as simple as that. It's in the release. It's in the breath. The release. Sometimes it just happens to breathe and you release something, right? But you're always going back. In nursing, we talk about this thing. We have a system where we're always reassessing. You go back and you reassess. And if something is working, then you keep on going. If it's not, then you do something else, right? In that reassessment, you release. Release things that no longer serve you. Release things that no longer bring you joy. Because the reinvention is also about finding a place of joy. This short term is meant to be joyful.
And it's also meant to be lived. We talked about this really quickly in the car. We said someone asked me something of like, you know, how you keep going on, or, you know, something in that vein. And we said, because I'm still here. There's still more work for me to do. There's still more work to be done. So you keep going, right? Yes. And in that, and in that action, right? In that action, the call to action is to find the joy.
To find the joy. That is the art of living, the art of reinventing yourself. That is the art of healthcare, creating space to find that joy to journey through.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This has been a wonderful talk. I'm so excited to be able to share our journey together, our journey together and separate, and finding that parallel path that we're able to continue to reinvent and to pivot.
To reinvent and to pivot. And always know that you are not reinventing and pivoting alone.
I'm Miriam Micah Day, and you're listening to North of 40.